96.9 Boston Talks is your talk.
Here comes Billy Cundiff to tie this game and in all likelihood send it to overtime. The last 2 years, 16 of 16 in the fourth quarter on field goals. 32 yards to tie it. And the kick, look out! Look out! It's no good! It's no good!
Congratulations, New England. You're going back to the Super Bowl.
Jim Nantz with the call. Look out! Look out! I'm Doug Meehan. This is the Doug Meehan Show. I got to ask you a question. Was there a little divine intervention in that wide left by Billy Cundiff? Was Myra Kraft looking down from heaven and saying, blowing the ball just a little bit to the left? I don't want to make fun of it because a lot of people, you know, it's a very sensitive subject, and a lot of people blew up Twitter and Facebook and everything else saying, thank God, Myra Kraft looking down, blessing of the Patriots and all of this. And one other story that was in the headlines that we have to address was the passing of Joe Paterno, and can somebody die of a broken heart? Who do we turn to? All questions regarding the human psyche, our own Dr. Karen Ruskin. Hello, Doctor.
Hey there, how are ya?
I am well. Were you watching the game last night?
I didn't watch the whole thing, but I, of course, saw the part where all the excitement happened.
So you saw the missed field goal, and you saw the chance, people in the stadium, coming out of the stadium, thanking Myra Kraft with this divine intervention, the power of a greater power. What is it about the human psyche, psychologically of humans, and maybe perhaps more of football fans, that want to believe that there can be actions of a higher power?
Well, it's important that humans have something to believe in, because if our mind doesn't have something to believe in, then we don't know how to make sense of why things happen the way they do. And the moment we feel at a loss for making sense of why things happen, that's when we feel out of control. And when we feel out of control, that leads to us to feel depressed. So it sounds overly analytical for a football game, perhaps, and a lot of your fans are probably laughing right now hearing me analyze it in these terms, but let's really look at it in a serious way.
Sure,
right? If something really great, you want something really great to happen in your life, or you want something that's really horrible happening in your life to stop if there's an illness or something of the sort. And if we feel like it's out of our control, then we feel at a loss. Whereas if it's something that we feel like if we pray, or we feel like it's something that somehow we're in control of by looking to a power beyond, that makes us feel a little bit more at peace. So, of course, we carry it into fun things like football and some other stuff too, because it's an overall philosophical belief system that some people have.
Now, what would somebody like Billy Cundiff be thinking as that thing's going wide left? Is he cursing, the beloved Myra Kraft, or is he just saying to myself, God, I just choked? I mean, for good and for bad, people will turn to believe that there is something else at play here.
Right. Well, really, there's three things that he may have been thinking, right? One is he may have thought, I choked, and completely self-blame. The other is that he might have been thinking random, that sometimes good things happen in a moment or bad things happen in a moment, and it's completely out of his control or any spiritual control. Or the third choice is that he really is thinking spiritually, and perhaps he's thinking in his own mind, man, if I, just did this week or did that this week, I didn't go to church, or I didn't this, or I should have done that, then this would have happened. So sometimes people do tie it in to a higher power. So those are really the three things that go through a person's mind, and some people just focus on one of those three or two of those three, or some people think about all three of those, and then we pick which one of those matches our particular context that's happening in our life.
It's not necessarily a bad thing, and I would imagine for the human psyche, it is a positive thing to believe in things like guardian angels.
Sure, it can can be a really helpful thing because then you feel less alone in the world and you feel like somebody perhaps has your back. It can at times be very heartbreaking for a person when something bad happens, though, and they feel like, what happened? That person wasn't there for me. But again, then the mind might shift to thinking, okay, this happened for a reason, and then they become analytical about perhaps why this wasn't their time or why this had to happen to them. But really, the bottom line is our mind needs a reason why in order to make sense of what's happened in our life, positive or negative. So having something to believe in, a spiritual belief, often that does help people through both the good times and the bad times.
Can I ask you why, Dr. Karen, what is it about the human mind or we as humans need to have answers? Can't we, as people, just say, well, you know what, some things can't be answered and just life happens. Why do we have that overall feeling that there has to be an answer to everything?
Well, often we do feel like we need an answer to everything, and that's because it helps us to be able to move forward. It puts closure.
It's a coping mechanism?
Yes, it's a coping mechanism that puts closure on a box that's open. Mm. We're constantly in a state of wanting to close one thing to move forward. And if we believe we have the answer, then we make sense of what has happened, and then we can have closure on whatever the topic is and be able to move forward. But mind you, even though we long for that closure, we do want that closure in order to move forward. There are times in our life where, of those three choices that I mentioned before about the self or the random or the divine intervention, that we say to ourselves, well, that was random.
Mm. We're talking with Dr. Yeah. Karen Ruskin. She's helping us understand how the human psyche works in times of great joy and in times of great sadness. And right now we're talking about the great joy of the win of the Patriots. We'll get into great sadness in one moment. Dr. Karen, there's also that communal aspect to believing in something like, believing that Myra Kraft had something to do with the Patriots win. Because, you know, I tweeted at Doug Meehan, in Myra we trust, and it got retweeted and retweeted. And there was kind of a communal aspect to everybody feeling the same thing in regards to a certain point of time and a certain event.
Right. Well, that is really fascinating. And let's look at this. The reason why it's so important for people to have this belief that he was involved, it's not as simple as this case scenario regarding football. There's a bigger thing going on here, meaning everybody at one point in time has lost somebody that they love and or know that someday they will lose somebody. By having a belief that somebody that you've lost is looking down upon you, looking down upon your life, is there in connection to you, that you can make connection post-death with somebody that you care about, that's really important for those who have lost somebody, because otherwise death just seems so final. So by having that belief system overall in your life, then when something like this happens with football, you take it to the football example and you think, aha, he was involved in this. So it's not just about him. It's not just about football. This is an example that is in our face right now, but it's simply an example of something else that we all want and long for in our life, which is connection with those who have passed on.
Right, because a majority of the people that were believing that Myra Kraft, that she had something to do with it, didn't even know Myra Kraft, other than the fact that they saw her as a public figure, as Mr. Kraft's wife, as somebody who is really very philanthropic and by all accounts a wonderful human being. So they didn't really know her, but they felt as though directly that she may have had something to do with it, which then I would imagine provides them their own comfort, their own joy for people that they've lost that they do know.
Yeah, you know, often people go for counseling for somebody that they've lost, and that feeling of believing that the person is gone and has no connection to them anymore, no connection in life, that is devastating, and that makes it really impossible to move forward, whereas if you believe that there is still some connection there, it allows you to move forward. So by believing that, she has some type of, touch in all of this, it it allows a person to not feel so alone in the world and feel connected. So now, mind you, there are people who are very serious about football, as we know.
Yes.
So they're looking specifically about football. They're looking at the context of this in football. I do believe that this is at a higher level, and by the way, I have to laugh at myself. You know, when I write, I do, as you know, I do a lot of writing of books and blogs, and I always refer to everything in a he context instead of a she, and I realized that I had been doing this this whole time in my dialogue.
We all know where you're coming from, Dr. Karen.
That sounded so texty, and I realized, wow, I really didn't take it at a human level. I was looking at more at a meta level,
sure.
But I should really take it at a human level, so my apologies.
No, it's not a problem. Let's take it at that human level then and talk about great sadness. And for a lot of Penn State people and a lot of people that are keeping an eye on this weekend, and I was watching ESPN, and there were a lot of people that were calling in, people that knew Joe Paterno, people that were close to that situation out there. And what a theme that kept coming up time and time again is that Joe Paterno may have, for lack of a better word, died of a broken heart, that he may have literally given up the will to live based on the fact that he had been living with cancer for quite some time, reasonably healthy right up to the end, putting up a good battle. But when he was fired from Penn State and everything that defined him for as nearly his entire adult life was gone and it was over, is this something that has some legs? Is this something that people can is this something that's real?
Right. So it's not that your heart's been broken and then it's causal, that you have a broken heart and that then causes you to die. It's not causal. But what I'll tell you is that it is definitely, it plays a symptom in our physiological symptoms, meaning our emotions affect our body, our mind and our body interrelated. And the fact of the matter is anytime we are hurting emotionally, it cannot not affect our body. So to think of what he must have been going through emotionally, the battle within, thinking about, had I just done something, said something, maybe all of these children's lives would have been different. There must have been some adult battle in his head. Can we possibly analyze and say, well, that actually killed him? It wouldn't be right for us to think that on any level we can possibly know that for sure. But what we do know, and what studies do indeed show, is that our emotions play a significant role in our body, and that's why it's so important that we make healthy emotional life choices to help our body be physically healthy.
When you're dealing with things like stress, depression, anger, all the things that are directed inward, there have been studies that this directly affects your immune system. And if he's fighting cancer and all of these other things that are happening around him, it's almost as if the body itself is starting to attack it based on all of these other outside influences, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you mentioned the component regarding these, symptoms regarding diagnoses such as,
stress,
anxiety, depression. Absolutely. You know, even recently, there was even a study that talked about that when people get divorced, that the experience that they have post-divorce, I mean, this is a fascinating study, they released and said that divorce can kill at the same rate as smoking, excessive obesity, or alcohol. They were talking, and of course, this is, again, the same concept, that it's not causal, but rather the idea that you're in so much pain, you're hurting, that rather than now making healthy physical life choices, it's eating at you like a cancer, that you're hurting emotionally, and you're struggling to feel well emotionally, and therefore it's hurting you physically. Let's take a really simple example.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching something exciting on TV. And suddenly, what starts to happen to your heart? It starts to pound rapidly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something physical that you're in control of. And this is just something simple as you're watching something exciting on TV. Let's say something in your life frightening is happening. What does that do to the body? Let's say you're embarrassed. What happens to the face? It flushes. So every single day, we have physical signs that we see in our bodies that are affected based on something emotional. So think about over a course of days, weeks, months, years, if something is hurting us, whether it's divorce, whether it's that we didn't report something that we should have, whatever it is that we're struggling with emotionally over time, that does literally eat at you.
Yeah, which again, literally, as you say, eats at away at you, and then if you're sick or you've got other complications, then could eventually lead to where we are with Joe Paterno. We're talking with Dr. Karen Ruskin here on the Doug Meehan Show. We're tackling a couple of different items here: the divine intervention of Myra Kraft at yesterday's football game, but also the death of Joe Paterno over the weekend. And some were saying when they were calling in about he literally died of a broken heart, that he had nothing left to live for. And there were some other issues in regards to, and this is where I wanted to get your take, the psychology of somebody who's always been loved, who's always even been idolized, and they're wanting to continue to seek approval and accolades. If somebody had been put up on a pedestal for so long, and then one day is torn down from that pedestal, how does that affect the psychology of somebody as well?
Oh my goodness! Could you imagine just even the way you worded it, Doug? I felt like I was in the moment of the decline of that person's mind, and that's exactly what it is. It's an emotional decline where you go from the man who you believe yourself to be and the man that you believe others believe you to be, and suddenly you're forced to have to self-confront. What role have you played in hurting others? Without you realizing truly the role that you played in hurting others. Then the question is, how much did he realize the role that he played in hurting others? What did, when he was self-questioning, what did he question? We weren't in his mind, but just the way in which you described it, you can imagine any time a person looks at themselves and makes a shift in their view of self or a shift in their view of what they think others view themselves to be, they're actually re-questioning their entire existence.
And you don't have to be Joe Paterno, somebody that's been put on a pedestal their entire life, for that to have happened to them. I mean, there's probably somebody listening right now that it, you know, may have done something bad or maybe not that bad to somebody else, but now they're trying to look inward to themselves and say, am I really that person? Am I really that bad of a person? And how bad of a road is that to go down?
Right. Anytime I've ever seen someone self-question their life, it is a horribly painful road to go down, whether it's about a person who thought they were the child of someone and then as an adult find out that they were adopted. It's shocking. They re-question their whole life. They were married and they thought their spouse was faithful and suddenly they find out that they weren't. They themselves thought that they were loving and nurturing and then they find out that really the person that they thought they were being kind and compassionate to has actually been struggling and hurting for years. Whatever the example is, the self-confronting and re-questioning of one's own existence and how it played a role in impacting others cannot not feel like a knife in your heart, twisting and digging. It's very painful for that person.
Before we let you go, I just want to backtrack just a little bit. We've seen this before where Bear Bryant, he was the legendary coach of Alabama. He died 60 days or just within 60 days of his retiring from football. We got Joe Paterno that has died within 60 days of him being fired from his job. And then we have the stories where a couple that's been together for 50, 60 years, one dies and then the other one soon follows. That you know, is there some psychology aspect to it where people can no longer have the will to live and then end up dying?
Right, that's a good question. Well, there's certainly a psychology behind that, and specifically the way in which I would refer to it is that our belief system as to what the psychology is behind that is what our reality is. Meaning, if your belief system is that we die because once we've served our purpose, our life purpose, then that is your theory. If your theory is rather that you no longer have a will to live because somebody else has died or what it was that you were doing in your life, no longer you serve a function, so you no longer have the strength to live. If that's your theory, then that's your reality. So what I'm saying is a person's theory, that is their reality. So my theory is not necessarily somebody else's theory. It's all about understanding the person's theory and knowing what your philosophy is. It's because our philosophy affects the choices that we make and how we self-heal and how we feel about life and whether or not we are able to effectively cope with when these types of challenges come. So certainly we can't ignore these types of interesting scenarios and say, how fascinating. Is it indeed possible that our mind affects actually whether or not we're living or dying? That's just an incredible topic for philosophical discussion, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, these two stories came up, and I said, who are we going to call to put it in context for us? And Dr. Karen Ruskin was the answer. Dr. Karen, thank you. As always, we really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad that you called. Always fun to chat.
Dr. Karen Ruskin, boys and girls, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it, that people can literally die of a broken heart, or you think of the pain and the anguish that somebody like Bob Kraft and the Kraft family went through over the loss of their wife and mother, and then so many of us that are not related to the Kraft family believe in some strange, odd way that there was divine intervention. Do you believe that to be the case with last night's game? I'll ask you that coming up next. I'm Doug Meehan. This is The Doug Meehan Show.
96.9 Boston Talks is your talk.